We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
So it's been a week. So we, after doing episodes so often, so frequently throughout the season, and then in the playoffs after each of those games, it's been over a week since we last recorded, and it feels weird, doesn't it? Not feels like so much has gone by, but for the Yankees not playing anymore, it's like kind of feel out of place. Kind of feel like what do we? I don't know the place of us, because with the playoffs going on, it's like I'm kind of watching, but at the same time, the Red Sox are getting all the breaks, and it's just pissing me the hell off. And I see the writing on the wall with what's going to happen with the Red Sox, and I don't want it to happen.
Yeah.
So that's where I am with the baseball playoffs.
Yeah. It's a weird situation for all of us. Can you guys hear me now? I made some adjustments to it. Let me know if that's any better. But yeah, I think it's a strange time for Yankees fans, because obviously nobody wants to see the Red Sox win this at all. And it does feel like they have all the momentum right now, because they're getting all these breaks that are just ridiculous. And they're pissing me off beyond belief too. And the fact that the Astros just laid a complete egg really pisses me off.
It makes
me hate them even more now. Yeah, they're terrible. You know, I guess I'm pulling for the Dodgers, but at the same time, when you're looking at that, who's the guy at the helm? Freaking Dave Roberts, the guy who broke our goddamn heart in 2004. You know, it's like you try to pick one of the lesser evils, but
The lesser of the two evils is most clearly the
Dodgers. For sure. There's no doubt about it. There's definitely no doubt about it.
And everyone seems to be just losing their minds again over Manny Machado. This is now the second time Yankees fans have lost their collective minds over Manny Machado this season. The first was when those rumors happened around the trade deadline. And now it's, do we want this kind of punk on our team? That's the conversation around swaggy Manny Machado.
It's pretty funny, because I never really even, when I was paying attention to Machado, I would pay attention to him as a baseball player. And obviously, when you're looking ahead, because we've been doing this for, 2 to 3 years for this free agent class, and you're looking at Bryce Harper and then you're looking at Manny Machado, and Bryce Harper was the bad guy, like, for the longest time. It was obvious. Machado was the guy that's a good baseball player that you're going to bring in to potentially, you know, all this stuff was not in question. I never even thought about it, honestly, until just recently. But
well, the whole play at first base was definitely a little sketchy.
A-Rod-ish.
Had some hard slides into the bag at second base, which I actually don't hate, especially in the playoffs. If you can get away with it, then by all means, go for it. The thing that I think made people freak out even more were his comments about not hustling and how he's not going to be Johnny Hustle out there. This is just how I am. I'm not going to change. I know I need to change, but I'm not going to change.
It's just who I am. It's funny, because that is exactly what set Yankees fans off. And I think it's because it's so fresh in our minds. Exactly. Because of the whole Gary Sanchez thing. And people compared it, but like, well, Cano was kind of like that. Well, yeah, it used to drive people crazy too. But when he hits, it didn't matter as much.
To that level, though. I don't ever remember, and maybe it's because social media wasn't as prevalent back in like 2009, 2010. At least I wasn't on Twitter at that point. I didn't get on Twitter until I think 2011. But did people really freak out to the level that they freaked out about Gary Sanchez this year?
Well, it's different because, to Gary Sanchez? No, because I don't know if there wasn't so many glaring incidents, and Gary Sanchez wasn't producing. Robbie Cano would hit, you know?
Yes.
Like, he was a perennial guy that would consistently hit. But you have Gary Sanchez, who was just laying a fat egg and not hustling. It's like, what are you doing, buddy?
But can you imagine if Gary Sanchez after the game said, "Well, I'm not Gary Hustle out there."
Yeah, no, that he would. I don't know how
it would have been nuclear warfare. It would have been awful.
It would have been really bad.
Did you see the post? What they wrote, or the post wrote that the Yankees should not sign Manny Machado, and then the Daily News comes out with, I don't know. They need somebody on their Photoshop team. What happened there? It's like his shoulder is dislocated and his head is to the left. Horrible Photoshop. But our guy Wally Matthews, who's been on the show, said the Yankees need to sign Manny Machado because they need a villain again.
Yeah, I'm not so much the villain side of this is pretty ridiculous because I don't think he's that guy. I think the media is more making him out to be this villain type guy. I don't think he is.
It's all new. It's all in the last 2 weeks.
I know. That's why I'm not really buying it. I think it's like he's all of a sudden like got into some situations and now he's getting compartmentalized into a villain. First of all, the Photoshop job on there. I when I saw it at first, I immediately thought they did that on purpose. They'd made it a horrible Photoshop job on purpose. You have A-Rod laughing. Because there's no possible way someone could look at that and be like, okay, that's a good Photoshop job. It's just impossible. I mean, I know Photoshop pretty
nailed
well.
It's done in Microsoft Paint. That was done in Paint. And then the guy was like, control, save, nailed it. Let's tweet this baby out.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. That's why my first instinct on that one, that it was on purpose. It's like, let's make this as bad as we possibly can and we'll get buzz about it. I feel like they're trying to find new ways to get readers. Maybe bad Photoshop's one of them.
Yeah, let's go viral. Let's go viral for a shitty Photoshop. Why not? Let's try it. You never know.
Right. So,
but don't you think? You said it. I think that the Yankees don't need a villain. The media needs the Yankees to have a villain.
Absolutely.
Or a fake villain, because whatever this would be, I guess everyone hates Manny Machado now. So that would be the villain. He's going to make $300 million this offseason. He's coming in. He's spiking or kicking Aguilar at first base. He's going in hard on slides. He's openly not hustling and not really caring about it. Although I feel like he did redeem himself because
with that bunt, he was hustling his ass off down the line.
Played pretty well for the Dodgers in that series.
Yeah, I thought he played well. And look, I tweeted this out earlier today. If Manny Machado comes up in the World Series and just destroys the Red Sox, right? He's just a crew that comes there and the Dodgers win the World Series and he wins MVP or he's a big part of it. Everybody's going to want him. All of this will be forgotten. He will be a Red Sox killer. Bring on Manny Machado. That will be everybody's narrative, because I still believe this was kind of like a misconstrued fake thing. I don't know. I'm not buying it. Yeah,
do you think though that, how are you feeling with this World Series? Well, what chances do you get? Because I feel like most people are writing off the Dodgers. And I don't think that's fair, because I think the Dodgers, they were defending National League champs. They came in. They got better as the season went on. I don't think it's fair that people are just assuming Red Sox in five.
Yeah, I certainly don't, actually, because I think the one thing that the Dodgers do have is starting pitching. I think they can really mix in. Their pitching staff can actually work well against the Red Sox, and they were there last year. They don't want to lose again. I think who was it, Kershaw or somebody said it in the it was Bellinger when he got the MVP of the NLCS. He's like, we're going back, and we don't want to lose again. Like they know what happened last year. This is something that obviously this team has a lot of experience. So I kind of like it. I think I felt like Milwaukee was coming to the end of their little run, and I thought they would have gotten swept if they had made it through. I think the Dodgers have a better chance.
Yeah, Josh Hader can only pitch so many innings before.
Yeah, again, dude, you know my feelings on this bullpenning thing. Like, it's unsustainable to me. And like, they have a ridiculous amount, and they got it all the way to game seven. Like, good for them.
Yep.
But in the end, it failed, because these guys that had so many looks at the same guys over and over, and they were pitching a bazillion times. It doesn't work.
I imagine Brian Kenny reading the stats, the box scores on that NLCS, seeing a record number of pitchers used and all that stuff. The opener, Wade Miley pitching to one batter as an opener, and Brian Kenny just needed to be toweled off after that.
All right, guys, before we get into everything, I want to tell you about one of our new sponsors, Robinhood. It's an investing app platform that allows you to buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. Non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. Simple and intuitive. It's clear design and data presented in a very easy way to digest. I can tell you I do use the app consistently. I love the fact that there is a no commission, no cost angle to it. You can basically make trades and you know, you don't have to worry about the fees for it. So you can kind of, if you're new to the into investing and into the stock market, you can really do this without much risk on the fees side. So it's a good way to learn it. How to do everything, and it's super easy to use. They have the charts are easy. They have candles on there now. They have aligned charts, all sorts of good stuff. But again, I use it consistently. It's one of the apps that gets used most on my phone, and I'm building out a portfolio. The Robinhood is giving our listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to build your portfolio. Sign up at bronx.robinhood.com. That's bronx.robinhood.com.
So on this episode, we're going to play GM. Each of us are going to play GM. We crafted an off-season plan. But before that, the actual GM of the Yankees was on with Francesa last week. He did all the radio rounds. And he said he gives A's across the board to the coaching staff, including Aaron Boone. What do you think about that statement?
I certainly don't think it's A's across the board. But I said it when we graded him. Like, I think everybody else is too harsh on the way that they think about the way he did. I think he did a good job. I think that, you know, he definitely had some areas that he needs to improve upon. But overall, I thought he did a good job and I was relatively happy with him. You know, some of the other guys, you know, they're bringing everybody back. So he had to say that at this point.
He had to say that. I guess he didn't need to be as emphatic and say A's across the board. He could have just said, I thought he did a good job, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But do you think the fact that he said A's across the board and made that a point, I think it means he was completely satisfied with what Aaron Boone did, despite the fact that we were going mad over some of the things he did, especially in the ALDS.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, you start talking about micro situations and he could talk about that more a little bit more specifically and a little bit more harshly. But I think overall, when you hear about Brian Cashman talking about offseason stuff, usually when he's going into these meetings and stuff, he takes more of a macro version of his grading and the scale and what he's talking about. And I think that's what he is talking about. I think that he does think that Boone did a good job. But, you know, this
but
team
failed
was hit.
The final.
He failed the final. Yeah, he did. He did fail the final.
Okay, so you do a good job.
I wouldn't
you
say he failed the
you
final.
You show up to class on time. He came into the final. He was hungover. He got 30% right and went home.
Hey, like, that's
okay,
what happens
fine.
When you
maybe
work your
he
ass
still
off
salvaged. Maybe he still salvaged a B plus A minus, but it was damn ugly there at the end.
It was. But when you look at the entire version of this and how this team was just destroyed by injury for a long time and multiple times with significant people out, you know, it's pretty funny to look at. I hate complacency. Don't get me wrong. Do not get me wrong. I want this team. They should. The way that this team is constructed, they should win and they should get further. There's no doubt about it. But we've talked about this in the past. Expectations were high because of what happened last year. And I think the front office knew that. And they probably thought that last year was, you know, was further than they were going to go. That's why Joe Girardi got fired. He was getting fired no matter what. They just made it more difficult for them and made it look worse because they got so far. They weren't expecting to get that far.
Right. Yeah, it was a tough act to follow, honestly. Fans were expecting World Series, at least appearance in the World Series. So it's tough to come into that despite the fact that they had a team that should have gotten there. And their team should be better next year. So what we're doing for the rest of this show is Scott is going to play GM, I'm going to play GM, and then everyone's going to tell us why we're morons. Sound good?
That's basically what's going to happen.
I don't know about you, but I took the approach as if I was the GM, but also in the back of my mind, what do I think Brian Cashman could realistically do? Because I did not treat this like fantasy baseball.
Well, neither one of us did. We made sure that we made that up front. We said we were going to do this as more of a realistic approach to what the Yankees would do if this were truly our job and this was something we would do. So we're not going pie in the sky, like ridiculous trades that would not get approved on a game.
Right. There's no sports radio callers calling in saying, okay, I want to trade, blah, blah, blah. I want to trade Tyler Wade for Madison Bumgarner. And maybe Jacoby Ellsbury's contract can be taken by the Giants as well. That's not going to happen here, right?
Correct. That's right, that
so
is correct.
I had Tyler, intern Tyler, helping me out, and you had intern Dom helping you out. So
yeah, I think we have to call it former intern Dom at this point. He's now what, graduate student Dom at Syracuse.
Yeah, he's fancy.
Yeah, he's fancy now. All right.
What's your overview? What was your overall strategy? High level 30, like elevator pitch of off season.
Okay, so my off season starts with pitching, and it is pitching heavy. What I did is I looked at the season this year in 2018, and I was looking at deficiencies. Where are the deficiencies of this team? there were two solid areas that I could call out, and I think everybody will agree. There's no really disputing this. It was starting pitching that was just not getting any depth or just too many injuries. There was just a torrid of bad things that happened with some of the starting pitching. Runners in scoring position, hitting with runners in scoring position was another. Just it was abysmal all year long, and it killed us in the end. Both of those. Starting pitching killed us, and not hitting with runners in scoring position killed us. Both of those. Not hitting home runs, not a lot of these other, like, you know, fancy things that people love to see. Chicks don't dig the long ball. We did that too. Didn't work as well, right?
So, like, many long balls. They're selling a bat for how many long balls the Yankees hit.
Yeah. So that was kind of my view. And what I did at first, the first approach that Dom and I did, and we went through the payroll and we went up and down it and said, who are the free agents? Who's eligible for arbitration? We took all the arbitration numbers, plugged them in according to MLB trade rumors. I just kind of used that as a baseline for what they projected, just so we had a nice baseline. And then we started looking around the league at trade candidates, at free agents, and started looking at where our areas were that we needed to do. And then also we get to look at the roster as it stands and who is currently there that is a free agent, and are you going to bring that back? And who are you not going to bring back, and things like that. So that's kind of where we started.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you a question. So you mentioned the two biggest areas you feel that need to be worked on are starting pitching and hitting with runners in scoring position. I agree with that. What do you think is easier to fix?
Pitching.
I do too, because I think it's harder to point your finger at why they didn't hit with runners in scoring position. Why, when the bases were loaded, did they just become historically bad? It's kind of hard to figure out. Yes, it's the strikeouts, but there's still guys in that lineup that should be making, that do make more contact, that should be getting more hits with runners in scoring position. So I agree with you that pitching is, while it may be more important, it may be also easier to fix, especially with the way their payroll is shaking out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that is the way that they have to approach it too. And I just don't think Brian Cashman sees these guys, and maybe this is part of it too, the reason I went, you know, more on the higher side of pitching, but Brian Cashman, you know, sees this offense in front of him, sees these young guys, this core of young guys, and realizes that right now is the time. I mean, we all had 2019 circled a couple of years ago as the year that they would probably be ready to compete. They're ahead of schedule.
They traded Miller away. They traded Chapman away. We're like, okay, let's see what this team looks like in 2019.
Exactly. And so he knows now that he's in the prime of the careers for a lot of these guys, and he's got to capitalize on it at this point, or at least approaching the prime of with some of them. But Judge, you could argue he's in the prime of his career right now, or getting right into it. So pitching's the one way you can go and either you know, look outside the organization and revamp it as much as possible, because they've done their jobs with, and I did not go into international free, you know, pool money and stuff like that. What we know is that they've loaded up on international pool money, and they've done a really good job in signing these guys, and we'll see them 3 to 4 years down the line. And I think they've loaded up on pitchers. We saw a lot of catchers in the draft. You see up the middle, they're loading up as much as they possibly can. So I think they're hoping that a lot of those guys will pan out, or at least a few of them.
Well, discussing international free agents is not as fun, because at that point, it's just regurgitating scouting reports. And
right.
Fine. Like, this guy thinks he's an A grade scouting tool. I guess I have to trust his opinion because he's watching them every day.
But I think the depth is what the point is there, right? They loaded up on it, and they've thrown as much money as they possibly can at that so they can bring on more people and throw darts.
Right. Yeah. So you don't want to trade away like Tommy Canley for some international pool money.
No, I'm not going to do that in my plan. Not going to
okay,
do that.
Well, I guess you're not going to like that point in mind. No, so here's my high level overview. Just like you, focused on the pitching, really mainly focused on the starting rotation, because it was bad all season, and it got so bad in the playoffs they could not overcome it. Three innings is not something you can overcome. They're not the Tampa Bay Rays. They're not the Milwaukee Brewers. They were not managed like that all season. I understand they only asked their guys to go five innings a lot of the times, but if they could at least have gotten five innings in the playoffs, then maybe they'd be advancing to the ALCS. That didn't happen. So starting pitching is number one. And then number two is I took a long and hard look at some of the aging veterans on this team and tried to think logically what they should do with them. And I had to make a really tough decision in the outfield. So that's another thing.
Why do I have a feeling we're going to have the exact same plan? Because, you know, we've been talking Yankees baseball together now for, what, 3+ years? So it's going to be the same plan. We have not talked about this together, by the way. We made sure that we didn't tell either one of us the plan. So this will be the first time we're hearing it.
And this is unusual for us because normally we have a shared notes document.
Yeah.
And we're just sort of, we plow through different discussion points and then riff from there. But this time we're totally in the dark. So I hope you didn't have, we don't have the same plans, but it wouldn't surprise me because what's that saying that when you, when dogs and dog owners start to look alike?
Yeah, right. I know.
I don't know who the dog is in this situation, but you spend enough time, you talk to somebody enough, you're going to start thinking like that person.
All right. So I'll start. How about that?
Go for it.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about just the moves that I've made, and then we can discuss them, okay?
Yeah.
So we'll start with the starting pitching. Obviously, we have Severino Tanaka coming back. And this is, by the way, so everybody understands, this is assuming, this plan assumes that we actually do sign this person, right? We go out and we get, if it's a free agent, we will sign them. So Patrick Corbin is the number one starting pitcher on the free agent market. Everybody knows that. He'll be in age 30 starting next year. He's 29 now.
He actually turns 29 in July.
29. Okay, fine. It's
1 year better.
On here, looking at just like different precedents, my numbers may be a little off. And again, that's another caveat. Our numbers will probably be a little off, but we'll get them close. We were looking at like Yu Darvish's contract and, that was kind of where we were as a precedent, like where he was. Darvish is a little older, had some injuries, but Corbin also, you know, he's maybe not as established. Anyway, so we're signing him. I had a 6-year, $150 million contract, puts him about 25 per year, give or take.
Damn. So I just Wikipedia'd him, and apparently he is already 29. I was wrong on that.
Yeah, I thought so. I'm pretty sure. Whatever. I was pretty confident in my research and my assistant.
6 at $25 million a year. You think it's going to take that much?
I do, because I'm looking back, and you know it's hard to gauge what happened last year and use that as precedent because it was such a weird free agent year. But at the end of the day, Yu Darvish waited for so long and still got a really big contract with way more years than I was expecting. Maybe that was because more of a panic, and they waited so long that Darvish actually became in the driver's seat because they were taking so long. But I don't know. It was really hard to use that as a precedent. But if you start looking back, you know, I think there's a lot of money being saved up, and I think there's gonna be a lot of competition for Corbin. So yeah, I think that's what it's gonna take, something around there.
There is, but the thing against Corbin that Darvish had more history of success. Mm-hmm. Corbin has had one phenomenal year this past season.
Yep.
And then 2015 to 2017, he was okay.
Yeah.
He wasn't great. So if you're a team, if you're a GM, I mean, it's going to be hard for his agent to argue that he's going to be 2018 Corbin going forward. You have to sort of take a blending of all of it.
It's true. He's also healthy, whereas Darvish definitely had some, you know, baggage as far as injury. And I mean, it came up to bite them again. And he was coming off of a horrible World Series, you know, playoff performance with the Dodgers. So, I mean, like everything was bad for Darvish and he still got that money.
All right, so now the rotation for your team has Severino, Tanaka, and Corbin as 1, 2, 3.
Yes, Severino, okay. So we talked about hard decisions. There were two hard decisions on this roster, right, this year, and it was you circle Brett Gardner and you circle CeCe Sabathia. Again, like we talked about, we're kind of keeping in the back of our minds what Cashman will most likely do as well. I do think that they're going to bring CeCe back. I personally, as far as the baseball player, I think we're going to see a very short-lived CeCe Sabathia if he comes back. I just don't think he's going to have a lot of success. You know, I think he may be, you know, decent early, but I think he's going to really struggle. He's getting older. Those knees are becoming a real big problem. They've been a problem, but they're becoming an even bigger problem, and he's going to be another year older. So that being said, I am bringing him back. I think I had him on like a $8 or $9 million contract for a 1-year deal. It was like $1 million less than he had this past year, was $10 million. But he's also going to be like a sixth starter at this point because I'm making a trade, baby. And I'm signing somebody. J-Hap, bringing him back. Loved what I saw with J-Hap. He's Mr. Consistent. I think the Yankees need that. They need that guy in the rotation who they know will go out there. He reminds me of Jimmy Key back. If you're an early 90s, Yankees follower, Jimmy Key was like, you just knew you had an opportunity to win every time Jimmy Key came out there. You know, Mussina is a similar type of guy in that sense. You just knew you had,
better than
he was better. There's no doubt, but he was, but he, you just knew that there was an opportunity to win on every, any given day. So I'm signing, Hap. I'll come back to the contract. I don't remember what I had on here. Wrong mouse. So Hap's coming back, free agent. That's two. I think I had him at 16 million. I was,
for how long?
It was a 2-year deal with a third-year option, I think I had.
Team option or player mutual, like a incentive option if he hits a certain number of innings or something like that?
Yes, I think that's what it was.
All right.
Sure.
That's, I mean, so, I mean, it's a little risky. I mean, that means you're potentially having a guy into his his 39 season.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely risky for what you're going to do, but you have to, he's going to get it. I mean, you look back at what Rich Hill got, and you know, you're,
and look how that's worked out for the Dodgers.
Yeah. I mean, it's worked though. It's worked to a point.
It's worked.
He's still pitching.
It's worked ish.
It's kind of worked.
I guess the good news is that J-Hap doesn't have the blister issues.
No
that,
blisters,
that
no
Rich
soft
Hill
fingers, no Yawai skin.
Knock on wood. No, 16 million is, unsurprisingly the exact same number I gave Hap, not to give away my plan, but it's comparable to what guys like Rich Hill and John Lackey got coming off good years in their age 36 seasons.
Well, and you can also,
so I think there's a precedent.
You can even go back to Hiroki Kuroda, and Kuroda was coming in, and it was a 1-year deal when Kuroda was signed.
Right. He was doing 1 year.
But he was doing what, 16, 17 million, I think, at that point.
I don't know exactly what it was, but yeah, it was in that range. And he was sort of just basically like, okay, every year he came back, and the Yankees were like, do you want to come back for another one? Until he said no. So. But I think Hap is going to go for more than just the 1 year.
I totally agree.
I don't think he would sign for a 1 year.
He hasn't shown that he's, you know, breaking down at all. Like, there's no
signs
of that.
I'm saying,
right now.
But I'm saying for him and his agent, they're not going to agree to a 1 year deal.
I totally agree. There's no reason for them to. All right. So that is right now. That's five guys in this rotation. Yeah. I'm not.
Well, you said CeCe's a sixth starter, so
he's the He's the fifth one so far. So the next one, I am removing somebody, and that's Mr. Sonny Gray. I am saying good riddance to Sonny Gray.
Pour one out for him. I saw you're drinking some red wine. Pour
yeah,
one out.
I ran out of beer, so I'm drinking red wine. I feel like I should be Sonny. Sonny Gray is gone. I don't have to talk about him. I don't have to look at him. I'm shipping him to the West Coast.
Until he pitches well against the Yankees.
Nah, I'm shipping him to the West Coast, to the San Francisco Giants. We're not going to see him. He's going to be gone for
back
a long time. And we're going to probably have to give a little bit of money on this contract because Sonny Gray is, I think, penciled in for like $9 million next year, which is
arbitration,
a freaking robbery. But it's about that. So I'm looking at like what would they give up possibly for Sonny Gray? Guy with potential, big ballpark in San Francisco. This could actually be a good move for him, right? Going out to San Francisco, the Bay Area, he's familiar with it. So the guy that we're bringing back is Hunter Strickland. Hunter Strickland started the season as their closer. Punched a wall, was not in a good situation with
them. Oh, God, here we go. We had Kevin Brown punch a wall in 2004. Yeah. Now we're bringing in another guy who punches walls.
Yeah, he punches walls. He's angry. He throws the ball hard. He's the next Kyle Farnsworth, but can pitch. So Hunter Strickland's coming back, and he's 30 years old, but he's actually in his first year of arbitration, so he's controlled, which is a good thing. But he's got the stuff. He's got really good stuff. He didn't come back from the injury as well, but this is a guy that, you know, it smells like Cashman over and over again. Like, you know, Cashman's going and looking for something, turning a pile of dog shit into something that's going to actually help the team.
So you're basically just giving up on Sonny Gray for a bullpen arm.
Yes. Well, I mean, Hunter Strickland's a good bullpen arm. I don't think they're going to get anything for him. I don't think they can get
right
anything
for him. The Cashman between the season that Sonny Gray had and him just publicly saying in that press conference that the best scenario for him is to be traded. There is no leverage there.
No. It's funny because Michael Fairman in the comments said, Bryce Harper will enjoy having Strickland on the team. Strickland was the guy who invoked that brawl between the Giants and the Nationals.
Ooh, yeah.
I got news for you, Michael.
Bryce Harper's also fought with Papelbon, didn't he?
In the dugout when they're on the same team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, Papelbon's about douchebag relief pitchers and Bryce Harper. They just don't mix.
so that's what's happening here. And then he said, Bryce Harper, This is one of the big things in my plan. I'm not bringing in Bryce Harper, and I'm not signing Manny Machado. I'm not signing either one of those guys. I don't think it's in the best interest for the New York Yankees right now, the way that they stand and the way that this team looks currently, to go out and sign another guy for 10 years, because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take 8 to 10 years to sign these guys, a ridiculous amount of money, and they already have one. And guess what? Aaron Judge is going to need some more money soon. Gary Sanchez, if he comes back and plays like we think he can, is going to need some more money soon. Gleyber Torres at some point is going to need money. Didi's going to need money. God willing, he comes back healthy. There's a lot of people that are going to need to be paid. You have 2 10-year deals, massive contracts on the books. Not good business. Not good business. So we're not doing that. We're not going to play that game. And so Sonny Gray's going to San Francisco. I said $3 million to Sonny Gray's contract. And I might even give up Luis Cessa because I think that we're going to have to give up stuff, unfortunately.
Well, you might not even have to do that because it's going to go to an arbitration hearing. So you might just get the Giants to just take that on. You might not get even Hunter Strickland back. You might just get somebody,
Hunter Strickland's a bit
some
of a stretch,
wing and a prayer, some wing and a prayer for Sonny Gray.
All right, so now we are moving on to so that also says there's I said two there were two hard contracts for me to make a decision on. I should have said three, because Hunter Strickland coming in does mean the end of David Robertson as a New York Yankee. I don't think they're going to be able to, personally, I don't think they're going to, if I'm David Robertson, I don't know how I'm signing back with the Yankees. I really don't see it. He could still get closer money. He's still effective. He could be a closer. He could probably get a 3-year deal at this point.
He fired his agent.
I know. I saw that, but he's younger than Mark Melanson when he got his contract. And he could get that money. So I just don't think they're going to be able to afford him for the role that he'll be in, because he can get closer money. So we're saying goodbye to David Robertson for the second time. Love you, David. I think you're going to make more money somebody else and be able to donate more money to High Sox for Hope. So there you go. We're helping tornado victims in Louisiana or Oklahoma or wherever. All right. So
you've got charity on the mind. I got it.
I do. I like to give back to the people. All right. So here's my big move. My big move is going to make another decision that was very difficult. We're not re-signing Brett Gardner. Brett Gardner is not coming back to this team. And you did that too. I can already tell by what you were saying earlier. This was something, when you're looking at the way he ended the season, he was a bench player. He's, yes, he could play left and center. But there are guys on this team who can do that. I just think he's tailing off. And the money that it would have been to sign it, it's a $12.5 million option, but it's a $2 million buyout net, 10.5.
10 and a half.
So There's things that can happen there. You can get younger. It's not an easy decision. I love Brett Gardner. I just think it's the way that this roster shakes out, it's about time. So what we're doing is we are making a trade with the Arizona Diamondbacks. We're going to gut the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are open for business because I do think they're going to trade Goldschmidt. And as soon as they do that, the floodgates are going to open. We're making a trade for Robbie Ray and David Peralta. David Peralta is a 31-year-old left fielder. He had a good year last year, 30 home runs, high 90s RBI, somewhere in there. And then Robbie Ray is a guy who has a very high strikeout ratio. I think he was like 12 per 9 or 11 per 9. He does walk some guys, doesn't go the deepest in the games, but he's also coming back from an injury. He hurt his oblique last year in the beginning of the season, but came back. His last 8 to 10 starts were really good. So that's a guy that we're circling. Robbie Ray is also a guy who can come out of the bullpen if need be. So it does give a little bit of flexibility for the roster as well. And then Peralta is a guy who hits lefties really well, or hits righties really well. He's a lot of power, obviously, but he possibly could be platooned with a right-handed bat. He goes in there, and I think that is perfect scenario for having Clint Frazier on the team. You have a Clint Frazier in left field with David Peralta. They can go back and forth. They can platoon, play the hot hand. The other guy could play as the fourth outfielder. In the deal I had given up, and I'm not sure if this is enough, I may be wrong on this one, but who knows? I'm giving up Chance Adams, Domingo Acevedo, and Estrada, the shortstop. And there may be another low-level prospect that probably has to be in there, maybe 4 or 5 guys in this one. But they're both controlled Peralta's controlled for 2 more years. Next year and 2020, he becomes an undrafted free agent in 21. So that's pretty much my big trade. And the other piece of news that I'm bringing back Neil Walker. I like what Neil Walker brought to this team. I like the flexibility he brought. I'm bringing back Hechavarria. I really like Hechavarria a lot. He can play short and he can play third base, especially with Didi being out. We don't need the offense. We need the defense. We need the glove. So he can play shortstop. If Torres wants to get over to shortstop occasionally, they can do that. Because Neil Walker can play second or third. Hechavarria can play third. It gives Boone a lot of flexibility if Andujar is not living up to his expectations as far as defense at third base. Andujar is my starting third baseman. I think he's going to improve this year on defense. And then I'm going to have Luke Voit and Greg Bird go. They're going to battle it out for first base. But I think Luke Voit right now is the leader in the clubhouse and has the job as of right now because of what he did. The other thing that I'm doing is I'm extending Aaron Hicks. Aaron Hicks is getting a contract.
I thought you were going to say something else. You got the wrong Aaron.
No, not yet. Not doing Judge yet. I'm extending Aaron Hicks. Hicks is going to be a free agent next year. They got to shore up center field. Center field is right now probably, you know, if you look past this year and you don't have an Aaron Hicks, it's a big question mark. Because
what about Florial?
Florial's not ready, and he's thinking it up in the Arizona Fall League right now. Coming off of an injury, he's just not ready. He's not going to be ready next year. I think he's going to take another 2 years probably, you know, if he pans out. We all know how risky they are. So
what are the numbers on Hicks?
Hicks, I did it similar. It's similar. The precedent was, I keep using the wrong mouse, was Matt Cain and Dexter Fowler. And
Matt Cain?
Yep.
You mean Kemp?
No, Matt Cain, the Royals center fielder when he signed that deal. It was
Lorenzo
Cain, sorry. No,
Matt Cain was the pitcher.
Lorenzo Cain, you're right. Matt Cain was the pitcher. My bad. The deal, a 5-year, $80 million. And it may be more than that. It may have to be like 5-year, 90, 5-year, 85, somewhere around there.
Okay. That's a lot of moves. You revamped a lot there.
I don't think I revamped a lot. It's not unrealistic.
Nothing was unrealistic, but that's a lot of moves. That's a pretty big roster overhaul for a team that won 100 games, and that's a lot of Diamondbacks coming in. When you include Corbin plus the trade with the Diamondbacks, you're banking on those Arizona Diamondbacks coming. It didn't work out well with Drury last time, although it did turn into
it did work out for J-Hab. It did work out for Didi though, didn't it?
That's true.
The thing about the Diamondbacks, one, they're a talented team. They just didn't put it together. They had a ton of talent.
They were in the playoffs. They were in the playoffs the previous year.
And they were probably, you know, going into it, they were definitely one of the favorites. I mean, they're a very talented
team. Well, I remember when the Dodgers got off to a rough start this year, people were saying, well, maybe the Diamondbacks are the dark horse team. And then it ended up being the Rockies who came out of that division.
Yeah. But they also have a ton of guys up for arbitration, so there's going to be a lot of salary bumps on that team. They're not going to be able to keep everybody. It's just not going to happen. And they have a lot of redundant players.
Do you have the final number on salary? What does it look like?
Yeah, so my final number was right around 218. So around 220.
Okay, so that's over the luxury tax.
I don't give a shit. I came into this saying 225 was probably where I was going to cap. Like, I was going to try to be around 225. That's where I was going.
And that's still within the first penalty. So the luxury tax for 2019 is estimated $206 million.
But again,
so 218 would be in that first penalty bucket.
Stanton's on the team. No, Stanton's on the team.
I thought you would have mentioned that if you were trying to get rid of Stanton.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing I didn't mention, there's too many things to talk about within like 10 minutes. I am eating Ellsbury's contract and kicking him to the curb and saying, I don't care. It's a bad debt. You're not going to help this team. You haven't played baseball in a year. You were terrible when you played baseball. You're worthless. You've done nothing for this team. It was a bad mistake. Brian Cashman's going to own it and say goodbye. And that's it.
It's not Brian Cashman owning it. It's Hal Steinbrenner agreeing.
They're going to own it and say goodbye because they have to pay him anyway, whether he's on this team or not. It's going to happen whether they say it or he's just not there. You know, like he's injured again or something.
He mentioned him by name, I think, in an interview last week that he should be healthy next year.
Whatever. Yeah, of course he's saying that. It's all bullshit. He is not going to be part of this team. There's no way you could bring that guy back.
Well, not bringing him back. He's already here.
He is bringing him. They're bringing him back. And you know what it's going to be? If that is the case, Are you going to bring back Brett Gardner and Ellsbury? No, you can't do that.
It's not possible.
So you know what the other horrible thing is? The narrative for that is exactly this. It's Jacoby Ellsbury for Brett Gardner.
Yep.
Yankee fans will kill him. Kill him.
Yep. I guess I'm not going to be a popular GM.
Oh, we all knew that yours is going to be the lightning rod, the definitely more polarizing.
No, it's not. It's really not, honestly. It's a logical approach. Before we get into it, though, I want to tell everyone about SeatGeek. Getting tickets online can be far too complicated with hundreds of sites and varying levels of reliability. It's hard to know who to trust. That's why SeatGeek is the way to go. SeatGeek pulls millions of tickets into one place so you can easily find the seats you want for a price you're willing to pay. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. It searches multiple ticket sites and grades every ticket based on value. It's easily color-coded. Go for the green seats. Those are usually the good ones. SeatGeek helps you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. I used them for one of the Yankees playoff game. I know Scott has used them for some Jets tickets. I've used them for the theater in the past, so it's an app that both of us use quite frequently. And best of all, our listeners right now can get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase by downloading the app and entering promo code Bronx today. Again, that's promo code Bronx, and you get $20 off your first purchase.
So,
ready for my
But let me tell you quickly just a couple guys that I said no to or whatnot, and then unless you want to go first, then we can talk about the people we turned down. So there were other outfielders that were definitely up for consideration. Like I definitely think they're going to have they have to get another outfielder, which is crazy when you think about how
it was the deepest position.
Yeah, unless they actually bring back Ellsbury. If that actually happens, then some of these things. Then I would be just trading for Ryan Buehre. I probably wouldn't bring in Peralta. But God help me, I would rather have Peralta. Michael Brantley was a guy that people, we were talking about. Dom really liked him. I thought he was going to be too expensive, and he could probably get a good amount of money because he had a good year. Carlos Gonzalez is another one of those guys that, like, he's coming up. He's not the same Carlos Gonzalez, but he's still putting up good numbers. So he was a consideration. Marwin Gonzalez, I think, is going to be too much. He's been a flashy name in the headlights. McCutchen obviously was a consideration, but again, I think he's going to be
too much as well.
He's going to get more money. Away. Yeah.
I stayed away from a lot of those guys because I was thinking about, well, how much money are they really going to spend in the outfield?
Yeah,
they have Stanton, who's making close to $30 million. They have Judge, who they want to be there for the next 10 years and are going to have to pay him. They have Hicks, like you said, who they love and will have to pay. And they have Ellsbury just sitting there. Whether you pay him to go away or not, it's still on the payroll.
Right.
So how much money are they going to stick in the outfield? So I didn't see any of those guys happening.
And that's why I went Peralta, just so you know. That's why I went Peralta, because he's still cheap at this point, and he's still controlled for another year after this.
They love those controllable guys. Yep. That was the whole reason they picked up Drury.
Yep. And then the guys that I did not sign, Britton, because, I think he's going to get closer money somewhere. He's going to be too expensive. Who else didn't I sign? Lance Lynn is not coming back. McCutchen, as I said, is not coming back. And AJ Cole, I kicked his ass to the curb badly. I kicked it hard. I think that's it, right? That's all. The other, Neil Walker and Hetchavarria, I'm re-signing. That's it.
Yep. Cool. So my starting rotation is going to be very similar to yours. I gave Hap 2 years and $32 million, so $16 million a year. Like I said, it's very comparable to what other guys have had. What did you say Corbin's contract total value was?
I think I had 150.
150. So I'm signing him 5 years, 100 million. That's 20 million.
Okay.
And the reason is because he's had 1 year that's been great. That was 2018, a contract year. He threw 200 innings. He has had a 3.15 ERA with a 2.47 FIP. It was phenomenal. He struck out 11 batters a game. His fastball velocity was up. All that great stuff. But it was only 1 year. 2015 to 2017, he threw a total of 430 innings to a 4.35 ERA. That's got to come into play when you're talking to this guy's agent. If it doesn't, I don't know if I go 6 years, 150. I know we're targeting him because he is the best and young. I don't know. He's not the best starting pitcher, but he is the best for the value because Keuchel's older. Kershaw if he opts out?
He's not opted. Before I did this, I didn't see the contract. He's getting like 30-some million guaranteed. He ain't opting out.
He's going to at least want that if he opts out, which I don't think he's going to opt out. And his back issues scare the hell out of me. He's a Dodger for life. So I didn't even really consider it. Charlie Morton, like, no thanks. So
I don't want Keuchel either, man. I can't look at him.
I don't either. Corbin is still in his prime. He's just entering his prime as far as him, maybe not age, but him finding his own. Maybe he's a late bloomer. So I think 5 years, $100 million for a guy who 2 years ago wasn't going to sniff that can get it done.
The only reason I'll balk at that a little bit is because of the competition. I think there's going to be a lot of competition for Corbin, and I think that's going to drive the price up. And when you look at comps for free agent guys at the top of the market, because he is the guy, if not one of the top three at the top of the market, you know, and you look at Yu Darvish, who the injury concerns are there. Like, what's better? A guy that doesn't have as much, he's been good, but healthy as well. But, and then showing the fact that he's really good now, or that had a great year now, or a guy that's flashed, shown well, but is really an injury risk. I don't know which one's worse with the contract. I'd rather go for the healthy guy that's showing his stuff and showing he's in his prime.
You realize that would be almost as big of a contract they gave Sabathia?
Yeah, 2009.
Okay, but
okay.
The numbers really haven't changed much from 2009.
I used Darvish's contract as precedent. That was where I was.
All right. So I'm signing Corbin. I'm trying to get him for $20 million a year for 5 years, which I think is doable. I'm re-signing Sabathia to a $5 million deal with $5 million in incentives. So $10 million total contract value. He gets $2.5 million if he makes 20 starts, and another $2.5 million if he makes 25 starts. And if he doesn't want to do that, sorry, big fella, thanks for the memories. Let's move on. If Sabathia doesn't sign, then I move on to Lance Lynn, and I re-sign Lance Lynn.
Wow.
For a similar contract, because he can just eat those innings. Basically, I'm filling as much durability in that rotation so I can use that fifth starter job for Sheffield, Adams, Herman, Loaisiga, somebody to compete for that spot in spring training, with the hope and knowledge that Jordan Montgomery should be returning after the All-Star break.
Right.
It's kind of the lost thing. You can't count on Jordan Montgomery. I'm not counting on Jordan Montgomery, but he is a variable in this long-term rotation picture.
No, I agree. I took some of those considerations when I was looking at the minor leagues. Obviously, Justice Sheffield is a factor in what happened. Montgomery is a factor, or will be at least in the middle of the season. But the way I'm looking at it, the way I'm trying to be in Brian Cashman's brain, and the way that I think that we made the mistake last year, and I didn't want him to do it last year too, and I think it was a mistake. If I was him, I would have gone a similar route, and it turned out to be a mistake where they didn't go deeper in starting pitching. And just the way it is, the way that we've seen that the playoffs and the teams that are winning, what's happening? They're getting good starting pitching. That's what's happening.
It's true. It's true. They're getting the timely starting pitching, though, which is impossible to try and plan for. What at least you can do with this rotation that both you and I have put together is get durability throughout the season, which can do numbers.
No, absolutely. And that's why CC's so, you know, it's a nostalgic contract. That's what it is. What you've done. But his numbers of when he's pitching in.
That's the thing.
They've been
so
there.
If you're only asking him to make, he made 29 starts, I believe, this year. If you're only asking him to make 22 innings. If you're only asking him to throw 115 innings, maybe he's pretty healthy come October.
Yeah. The problem with that is you're throwing wrenches into other things. And I know there's other guys, but okay, moving forward.
Yeah, I guess it is a lot of stuff going on. But so bullpen right now, if they did nothing, the only guys that are locks are Chapman, Betances, Green, and Holder. I am re-signing David Robertson to 1 year and $9 million. I honestly think the fact that he fired his agent means he wants to come back to the Yankees and he would take a hometown discount. I would go up to 2 years for David Robertson at $18 million, so the same $9 million AAV on Robertson. And I'm signing Adam Ottavino out of Colorado. I was basically plowing through rosters, plowing through free agent guys, seeing who stood out to me from a bullpen standpoint. His numbers jumped out. 75 games this year, 77 and two-thirds innings. That would have been the most by any Yankee reliever this year. He had a 2.43 ERA and a 2.74 FIP. That's in Colorado. 112 strikeouts in just 77 innings, and a .91 whip. Best of all, he allowed a .467 OPS to right-handed batters. And Houston and Boston have tremendous right-handed hitting. I think he could be a really valuable Adam Warren on steroids for that bullpen.
Until he gets busted for steroids. No, he was
long
definitely
as it's no longer when he's with the Yankees.
That was a guy who was on my on my list at some point. That would be a good signing, and I think they do need to address another guy. I don't see Robertson signing for $9 million. He would be leaving.
You think it's going to take more per year.
He would be leaving
years?
So much money on the table. I don't believe in these hometown discounts, honestly. I don't think that they're a real thing. I think these guys have families, and at the end of the day, they're trying to get as much money. They're trying to capitalize on their playing career because they're not long careers. You know, when you think about a playing career, any kind of a career, they got to capitalize when they can. And he would be foolish to take a one-year, $9 million contract with the Yankees if I'm David
Robertson.
Well, Robertson.
Then why did he fire his agent?
I have no idea why he fired his agent, but I don't think it's just because he's going to sign a hometown deal. He's just trying to save the percentage so that the smaller contract is going to be a little bit more in his pocket.
I have no clue. Maybe he's thinking that he doesn't want to play for another 3 years and that he only wants to do one more year, and it's more important about him pitching where he wants to pitch. I have no clue.
That's a lot of nice things to go on.
I'm speculating.
Yeah. I mean, if that's the case,
I would go
great.
2 years though. And I think $18 million for 2 years or 1 year $9 million, as far as market value, is pretty fair for Robertson, especially when he's going to be competing with guys like Britton and Andrew Miller this offseason. He's not going to be the number one or the number two or even really the number three bullpen target. Kimbrel is also a free agent.
Right.
There's a lot of guys that are going to be signed before David Robertson is going to be signed. And I understand that if all these guys are getting big money, well, there's only so many teams that are going to be willing to give it to bullpen arms.
And that's the thing. You're looking
at
this.
So he might be left standing there. And then he might have his tail between his legs.
Or he's the guy that everybody's like, oh, okay, I could pay this much for Kimbrel, this much for Miller, who's been injured. And then they see David Robertson, who's been like Mr. Consistent and just gets out of jams consistently and pitches a lot and is effective still. And they can get him for, you know, a third of the cost, half the cost, whatever it is, 2/3 of the cost. You know, and then they could go into, so maybe he's more attractive because of that. You don't know. You're right. This is all speculation. I hope he comes back. It's not to say that I would love him. I think he makes this team better. I just think he's going to get more money somewhere else.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm willing to bump that up a little bit. But again, I'm just trying to guess what these guys are going to get.
Yeah.
Infield, I'm really not doing much. Gary Sanchez has to have a bounce back year. It has to happen.
Yep.
And Austin Romine, I think, peaked in 2018. I spent a solid 2 hours trying to come up with a trade for Austin Romine, where Brian Cashman could do another Aaron Hicks type deal like he got for John Ryan Murphy. But I couldn't think of a team dumb enough to fall for that a third time. They fell for it for Cervelli. They fell for it for John Ryan Murphy. They're not going to fall a third time for it on the Yankees backup catcher. So Romine's back as the backup.
I mean, Cervelli's still playing.
I know. I just needed three examples sounded bad.
and
John Ryan Murphy was ridiculous.
John Ryan Murphy was a younger guy. I think that maybe they definitely saw something more in him, that he was going to be a long-term fixture, but did not.
Minnesota was like, here, take our first-round draft pick problem.
Yes, that's what happened. Thank you very much. Now I'm giving him 6 years.
I'm not spending money on first base,
right?
Because I think that they can... They're good. It's Greg Bird and Luke Voigt with Neil Walker there. I'm re-signing Neil Walker, especially with Didi's injury. I think re-signing Neil Walker and Hechavarria, like you said, become mandatory. Neil Walker, I'm giving him the same contract, 1 year, $4 million. He had a negative .1 WAR this year, so if he asks for more money, I tell him you are a negative value player this year.
And also
you're
remind
taking
him
the same money.
How many people passed on him last year, and
right,
because he came in very end of the year.
You want to wait around until the last weekend of March, or you can take this $4 million, and I think he'll sign it. Hechavarria, you realize he made $5.9 million last year?
I did not realize until we did this.
Yes, and I think now, because Didi is out, he has leverage. So I think you're going to have to give him like $6 million.
I think that's where I had it. I think I had it at $6 million, somewhere around there. I might have even gone up than that.
So I said 1 year, $6 million for Hechavarria, and then the last of my infield plans.
I gave him
plans,
seven. I had $7 million on Hechavarria.
Okay, yeah, it might take that. The last of my infield plans are: I finally figured out a job for Ronald Torres. You're gonna love this.
God.
You fly him to wherever Miguel Andujar lives, and you have him hit fungos the entire offseason until his arms fall off at Miguel Andujar, who has to throw it to a bucket. And the more he gets it in the bucket, the more...
Bucket's kind of low. You're going to put the bucket on something?
Yeah, you're going to... Greg Bird's going to hold the bucket.
Greg Bird's not going to catch it. He's going to hold the bucket.
Yes. You don't want him potentially injuring himself by catching a baseball. Miguel Andujar needs to take at least 1,000 ground balls a day for the entire winter. Would you agree?
1,000%.
It's like all he does this winter is take ground balls.
This is exactly what we were talking about. We need him like the his idol. We talked about this before.
Beltre,
thank you. And Adrian Beltre is his guy. That's his dude. Adrian Beltre is one of the best fielding third basemen we've seen in a long time. Go hang out with him. Find out what you need to do, and be a better third baseman. Fix those feet. It's the feet are a huge problem.
I am so when I seriously thought about signing Machado, and I was trying to come up with what would be a realistic contract. It was 10 years, $300 million. That was like the number I kept landing on again. And I cannot justify signing Manny Machado when I trust the young offensive players on this team, Miguel Andujar and Gleyber Torres, to either repeat or even be better next year. I think Gleyber Torres was not healthy in the second half.
I agree.
And I think if he's healthy for an entire season, he's a guy who hits with runners in scoring position. Remember we talked about up until he got injured, he had some of the best numbers on the team with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, how many three-run home runs did he have early in the season?
Right. He makes contact. Miguel Andujar doesn't strike out. Those are two guys that you can theoretically have in your lineup. I believe in both of them to be guys that won't strike out. And maybe you shift them around the order. Maybe Gleyber Torres hits at the top of the order. Maybe he hits second. Maybe Andujar hits sixth or seventh. You space him out a little bit. Maybe you take some strikeouts and move him around the order. But I do not think $300 million just because they did not hit with bases loaded this year, which I think is probably a little fluky, is worth it for Machado.
I agree. I don't think it. To me, it's the length of the contracts. That's the nail in the coffin for me with Harper and Machado. It's the 10 years, knowing that we have Stanton. Look, we went out and made that trade last year and got Giancarlo Stanton a year before these two guys were going to get a similar contract. To me, when Brian Cashman made that trade, that was him signing his big free agent in 2019. Exactly. That's exactly what he did last year, but he did it via trade. I agree with you. I don't see how they can really make that work and then move forward.
Especially with the way the pitching staff is. If the pitching staff didn't require legitimately three holes to be filled, then maybe you could focus on Machado or Harper or somebody a little just like more fun, I guess, more flashy to add to the offense. But when the pitching is in disarray, I don't think disarray is an understatement for the starting rotation, how it was towards in the playoffs.
No, it was a disaster. It really was.
So you have to concentrate on the starting pitching. Go ahead.
I was just saying, people are I'm looking in the comments too. A couple guys are asking about lefty on base, high contact guys, lefty.
Yeah,
you know, where
I'm going to get to that.
Where's
right
that
now.
Coming up? Okay.
Yeah. So the outfield, you have. I already said this. So much money in the outfield, and so much money you're going to be planning with for the outfield. Judge is coming back, right field. Hicks, center field. I want Clint Frazier to get a full look in left field. He is my starting left fielder. I hope to God those concussion issues are resolved with a full off season. When's the last time he played? He didn't really play after August, right? They shut him down.
Yeah, no, yeah, he had a couple of rehabs and then it came back.
So it's going to be a solid 9 months. Hopefully,
I've been seeing on my Instagram, man. He's all over the place too. He's having the time of his life.
I want Clint Frazier as a starting left fielder, and Stanton is your outfielder / DH. Jacoby Ellsbury is your fifth outfielder. Because I do not think they're going to eat $21 million. If you're telling me they're going to eat $21 million, fine, do something else. But I don't see that realistically happening. And that means Brett Gardner has no place on this team, unfortunately. You got to pay him his $2 million to walk away, but that's what they're going to do. And when you look at the numbers, it doesn't look as bad on paper, because Brett Gardner in 140 games this year had a 690 OPS. It's really bad. He was terrible in the second half. Jacoby Ellsbury in 112 games in 2017 had a 750 OPS, and he only struck out 15% of the time.
Yeah.
He might be that guy that they already are paying. That no, he's not. I don't like Jacoby Ellsbury. I hate that I thought of this, it makes me want to punch myself in the face. But it is the most realistic option for Jacoby Ellsbury is to have him be your fifth outfielder. And he can play all three outfield spots and play three times a week.
So do you think Ellsbury was really hurt all year long?
No. So there's no possible way he was... He had a toe injury, and then a week later he had a hip injury, and then a week later he had a back injury. I think they fudged some of that.
I agree.
Because I don't think he was 100%.
Right.
Because he's Jacoby Ellsbury. But I think they fudged that a little bit.
So essentially they ate the contract this year. Right?
They did it for a year because of they didn't have a spot for him. But they could...
They needed outfielders badly. They needed outfielders in a horrible way this year.
It got to a certain point,
this was the year that they needed him.
No, because by the time that they realized they needed outfielders, it was August. They're not going to bring him back in August. They went out and got McCutcheon.
I think that there is so much egg on face with this whole contract and the way that it's been handled and the way that he's not shown up for literally a year. Like, he is... How old is he? 34? 35? He's... And not playing baseball for an entire year. And one, not being great before that. Like, certainly not the guy that everybody thought he was going to be.
No, but he's not a $21 million player. He's a backup. He's a fifth outfielder.
So this is a guy that's going to, like, I don't see how he's possibly improving after taking a year off of baseball. Like, I
who said he's improving? No, I don't expect him
no,
to
No, but
improve.
Coming back and being anything semblance of a major league hitter, I just
can't
see
he can
it.
Be, I think if he's healthy, and I know it's a big if, I don't know if maybe I shouldn't be assuming that, he will be a better player than Brett Gardner's 690 OPS.
I don't know. I would much rather have not to say that it's a contract thing. I get that you have to make it is legitimately, if Ellsbury is coming back, it's legitimately Ellsbury for Gardner. That's it. There's no way to sugarcoat it.
Yes, and it's 100% Brian Cashman's fault.
I thought you said it was Hal's fault or Hank or
no,
whoever.
Whoever. Well, the
maybe
GM
it was
gets
maybe
the
it was
blame,
Hank,
doesn't it?
Maybe that's why Hank's no longer there.
The GM, it's the GM with the egg on his face, whether yes. Hal Steinbrenner told him to do it or not. It's the GM.
No doubt.
I basically would try to figure out, okay, how do I get Clint Frazier playing time?
So
someone has to go.
All right, cool. I like it. I mean, I want Clint Frazier to have that job. I want him to be a part of it. So continue yours. Let me know what else you got, and then we can both.
I am offering Aaron Judge a 7-year, $150 million contract.
This year?
This year. It's essentially the contract that they gave Jacoby Ellsbury, $21.4 million.
I wouldn't mention
and
that.
And the reason I am doing it is because he is in a weird spot. He turns 27 in April, and he's making $600,000+. So the Yankees have him under control through 2022, which is his age 30 season. I do not want to have to sign him for 7 years in his age 30 season. And everybody is going to, assuming he is still good, everyone is going to demand that, and it's going to happen. I'd rather sign him now from age 27 through 33 than age 30 through 37.
Yeah.
Just get it done with now and then move on from him when he's 33. So that's why I'm doing it now. And then I am also trading Sonny Gray. I am trading him to the Milwaukee Brewers, Ooh. Who are losing Wade Miley and Gio Gonzalez out of their, quote, rotation.
Right.
Maybe Sonny Gray can be their third opener. But I basically went in their farm system and said who maybe they won't care. Zach Brown is a name that came up.
Zach Brown Band.
He is not on the MLB Top 100 prospect. He is number 8 in Milwaukee's system. He is a age 23 pitcher. He pitched in AA this season. Many scouts feel that he is not a long-term starter because his motion is too violent and he will end up in the bullpen. Mm. And I said, that sounds like a perfect sixth inning guy. Or Taylor Williams. He's another guy. He's 27. He threw 53 innings for the Brewers this year. He was a higher prospect for them, but he never really panned out. He throws in the upper 90s. Another guy that Brian Cashman might love. You're basically trading Sonny Gray away for a pile of dog shit.
Right.
That's what it is.
No, I know. I'm looking for people that have problems, like with potentially with their organization, or you're just diving into a farm system.
And Milwaukee is the perfect small market team that would want to take a risk on Sonny Gray because he could potentially be good and they need him. Yeah. They made it to
They'll
game
be really
seven
nice
to
him in Milwaukee too, probably.
They made it to game 7 of the championship series. Yeah, they'll create one of those sausages. It'll be a Sonny Gray sausage.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be a pickle.
It'll be a pickle. It'll be a friggin'
pickle.
Pickle
into that
the goddamn
race.
Pickle will be racing. You're right.
But isn't it the perfect scenario for him where people are passionate about baseball, but they don't really care?
Yeah.
No one's going to get on Sonny Gray for saying his stuff is good when he goes out there and throws four innings. No one's going to care about that.
Well, they care. They're just nice about it.
Right. He'll go out there. He'll probably win the 20 games that you said he would eventually win. I think he's the perfect Milwaukee Brewer, and he's somebody we probably never have to worry about again if we trade him to Milwaukee.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I shipped him to San Francisco.
That makes my payroll $200 million on the nose without the Judge contract and $222 million with the Judge contract.
Okay. All right. Very good. I like it. I don't think Judge signs that contract, but I think that he's going to get paid a stupid amount of money, and he knows it, and he's going to wait for that.
He's going to be a late free agent, though.
He is going to be a late free agent. You're right, and
so that could, you could almost scare him. And you're not going to get him for cheap. $150 million, $22 million, is not cheap,
right?
But for a guy who's played a season and a half.
No, I mean, I agree. I think it would take more than that, but...
More years or more money per year?
More money per year.
All right, fine. 25, 26 million?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going more than 7 years, though. 7 years is my absolute max. So you want to say 7 years, $28 million? I would do that, too.
Yeah, I think it would be more similar to what they were offering Cano, where they're going like high average per year and less on...
His was 24 million average.
Yeah, so probably, yeah. Between
maybe around
25 million,
lowballed some of these contracts a little bit. Kind of looked at the market last year.
Last year was just so weird. That
was weird.
Yeah,
but you said you wanted to re-sign Aaron Hicks. If there's one guy I'm re-signing, it's Aaron Judge, just to get it out of the way.
Yeah,
because it's going to happen eventually. So get it out of the way.
All right, I'm going to look at the comments real quick and just see what some people are saying. Someone was asking, no mention of McCutchen. We did mention McCutchen. We're not re-signing him.
I love McCutchen. So I do too. Gave McCutchen a long look, but yeah. You're not going to get him for less than 3 years.
That's the problem with some of these guys. Like, yeah, I would love to re-sign more than the guys that I have on here. But one, there's an infinite amount or a finite amount of spots. And then two, you have to see what kind of money they're going to get. So
like McCutchen might get 3 years, like $55 million.
Yeah. I mean, he's an on-base machine. Like, he can absolutely still play.
If you're telling me you could get McCutchen for 1 year, $18 million, I'll sign up for it. But that's not going to happen.
Right. So, and that was one of the reasons I went with Peralta and was targeting a trade for the outfield rather than a free agent sign, is because when I'm looking up and down this line, anybody who's going to help us is looking 3-4 years, maybe, you know, with a $15 million plus. Like, that's where they were. Brantley is another one of those guys. You're going to be paying basically at the top of the market for him. Whereas Peralta was a controlled guy that's still eligible for arbitration, and you could still controlled at a very, very reasonable money.
Someone mentioned in the comments, where's the lefty contact hitter?
And Peralta, that's what I was getting at. Sorry.
That's fine, but I lefty righty, I think, is maybe a little bit overrated. I just think that the guys in the lineup didn't hit, and they should be able to hit. They have quality hitters in that lineup. They just did not produce.
I guess.
So I don't really care. Like, you're going to say, I'm going to forego like Clint Frazier just for the sake of a lefty bat. Like, no. Like, he hits right-handed. I'm okay with that.
So
he's going to be hitting eighth or ninth if he's in there.
Peralta is the guy. The reason I was circling him and he jumped out on me is because he is a high contact guy. He hit like 295, I think, last year, 30 home runs, makes a lot of contact from the left side.
Do you have any idea what his strikeout rate is?
I don't have it in front of me.
I'll look it up.
Okay. So, and then Frazier was that. So here's my big thing with CeCe and Frazier. I had to have insurance plans for them because I feel like that was one of the things that Cashman didn't do well this past year. There was no insurance plan for the rotation, it seemed like. And everything went out the window with the outfield.
He put a lot of eggs in that Sonny Gray basket.
Yes, he did. Knowing that Frazier has those concussion issues.
20%.
Okay.
Strikeout rate.
Knowing that Frazier has those concussion issues and knowing that nobody can predict them and how that's going to affect him is scary, not only for him, but when you're looking at a team and you're trying to play in long term, it's really hard to pencil him in there and say, okay, this is my guy. Even though you want him to be and he has the ability to be and your team is probably best with him there. I just have a hard time saying that. So if I could get a controlled guy that can play the position and also hits on the opposite side as a lefty where you can platoon if need be, then you can live with both and have a spot. Because how many times, you know, the fourth outfielder plays five times a week almost. I mean, they're still playing time for four guys. Easy. So that was my thinking there. It solved some lefty issues for me. It got more bat to ball, more contact, and then kind of just gave a little bit of an insurance blanket for Frazier.
I get that. And I don't really, mine's a high risk plan because I'm backing up a concussion guy with a guy who's always injured, yeah. Jacoby Ellsbury. But I would then rather just have Stanton be the left fielder and figure out DH.
Yeah, and I mean, think
you can get away with that, and then maybe make an acquisition later in the season. I would prefer not to bog my roster down with an even more outfielders that I need to have on the major league roster at this point. I rather keep my options a little bit more open, and I am putting a lot of eggs in that Clint Frazier basket, but I want it to happen so badly.
Yeah, the thing is though, when you saw what happened with third base last year, like we all thought third base was going to be a lockdown, right? And Andrew Hart did not even make the team. But then we see injuries that just kept happening and kept happening and kept happening. And then Andrew Hart all of a sudden is back up. I with the way that this team is, the way that they're ready, to me, as general manager, you got to make sure that there are things in place if something does go wrong. Because they're ready to win right now. And if you keep if there are areas that are thin, probably the first area to get exposed.
Yeah. But right now the thin area is starting pitching.
No doubt. No doubt.
So you need to lay it on thick there. You need to put like five coats of paint on that baby.
Agreed. And you go back in time, maybe they make that deal for a Gerrit Cole. Maybe not.
So how are we going to tell who won? We're going to do like a Twitter poll or something?
Yeah, we'll do a Twitter poll. In the comments, you guys can talk. Tell us who won. Whose plan is going to work better? Who was good?
All right.
Who sucked, or maybe we both sucked. Tell us what you think.
I think a lot of people are going to hate my Ellsbury plan. I hate my Ellsbury plan. it's just what I think. Brian Cash. See, that's where I got in trouble with what is Brian Cashman going to do versus what would I do as Brian Cashman.
Yeah, but I was thinking the same thing.
Those lines right there.
I think we're thinking different things. Like I think they're just gonna. He's on a vacation, man. He's a paid vacation guy. He's like, I don't know if you watched that
special consultant. Maybe he can, maybe he can hold A-Rod's iPhone as he takes Instagram photos.
That's the other thing. There is a precedent with this. They've eaten A-Rod's contract.
1 year. 1 year is different than three at this point, right?
Two more after this year. Yeah, I think so. It is what it is, though. It is. If you can't help the team, then what's the point in having him there? You're still paying him.
See, the thing
that's
is,
my problem. If he's not going to help the team, then why bring him in just because you're paying? You're paying him anyway. That's not
fine.
Changing.
I get that. When he played, actually, it's two more years, 19 and 20.
Yeah.
And then he got a nice $5 million. He gets a nice $5 million buyout in 2021.
We're still paying A-Rod, too, this year, I think, like $4 million or something like that. I thought that was on the books. Yeah, it is.
Not according to Fangraphs.
SpotTrack had him like $4 million on the books.
With the Ellsbury thing,
he's just it's a no-win situation.
It's a no-win situation.
That's the problem.
It sucks.
Yeah. James is talking about it's a lose-lose with Ellsbury. It is. It's a lose-lose. There's nobody wins here except for Jacoby Ellsbury, who's salmon fishing in freaking Oregon.
Someone, I forget if we discussed this on the podcast. Do you realize that he was the starting DH in the wild card game in 2017?
Ellsbury, I remember the discussions about him and Gardner.
Gardner played.
I know.
Frazier,
I think it was a surprise. It was a surprise that they both played. Yeah.
Headley sat, and then later in the playoffs, Headley got the DH time because Frazier was at third. Someone pointed that out to me the other day, or like a couple weeks ago. I was blown away. I was at that game. Yes, I was a little drunk. Yes, all I remember is DD and Aaron Judge and the pandemonium, but that blew me away. So, all right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Fun episode. We're going to do more of these sorts of different types of episodes throughout the offseason because we're still going to talk about the news. We're still going to get into the free agency news and the trade news, whatever Brian Cashman says, whatever Aaron Boone says. But things like this that I think will be, make it a fun off season.
I agree. It was fun. It was definitely interesting when you start taking into consideration the money and like all the other things that, you know, that, that goes into being a GM and not just playing fantasy baseball with the roster. So, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I do hope that Cashman does make some, a trade coming out of nowhere. It seems like he does it every year.
If you win the $2 billion for the Powerball, would you pay for Ellsbury to go away?
No. Why would I do that?
Because you'd be a hero to all Yankees fans.
They're still paying him. I would not be a hero for giving him my money. He will never sniff a dollar of my money.
Are we going to still do the podcast if one of us wins $2 billion?
Yeah, we'll just have a banging studio.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you next Monday.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.